Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be looking at a company that's currently raising funds on Crowdcube. The company's Appyway. It has soared past its target. It's currently raised just under 800,000. That was an initial target of 600,000. So very strong demand there from investors. And as we go through the podcast, I'm sure that a number of listeners listening to this will see the real world benefits of this company. And we're going to be discussing the company today with the CEO and founder, Dan Hubert. Dan, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks very much for having me.
So before we get into it, Dan, and we start looking at the reasons why you're on Crowdcube at the moment, how you're going to be deploying those funds, and of course, the opportunity for investors, please would you be able to give us a brief introduction, first of all, to yourself, as well as the company Appyway?
Yeah, sure. My name's Dan Hubert. I'm the CEO founder. I have been doing Appyway for a decade now. So I had a light bulb moment a decade ago, which I can explain more in a second. That was my existing life in this past decade. But my old life, I used to be a creative director in advertising, which seems a very, very weird jump from the world of writing glamorous TV ads and going across the world shooting ads for global clients to the world of parking, curbside management and public sector. But ultimately, as I realized, the curbside, the parking, where we need to pull up every day, it's the communication is awful, ultimately. So I had my light bulb moment was to realize that the curbside was an asset. It's a commodity. And if we can approach it, access it, and understand it, then we can purchase it as a consumer in a decision-making exercise. And it kind of stemmed from there, really.
Thank you. So I myself, I'm a driver in London. So I really see the benefits in this app. But before we go on and we start to speak about the light bulb moment in more details, please would you have to just break down in simple terms, Dan, how the app works and the benefits that it gives to the users, please.
Sure. The app really is the tip of the iceberg, really. So for the app to fulfill its purpose is a very, very big data platform behind the scenes. And behind the scenes is basically a data platform that allows the local authorities to manage all their parking, loading assets, so the whole curbside. And so the curbside is the bit that divides the pavement and the road and where vehicles have to pull over for different dwell times. So so from the consumer's point of view, and the light bulb moment for me was that, you know, I continued, got into my car. I'm an optimist by nature, and actually there's more pessimists in the world than there are optimists. But every time you get into your expensive car or that you've worked hard for, you become an optimist because you just hope for the best, because there's no information about that destination, especially on street. When you use Google, you put in just instinctively or naturally the building, the location you're going to. You don't put in the curbside that's relevant for the vehicle. So you put in the building, but it's not actually relevant for the vehicle, because most of the time you can't park on top of the building unless you're a helicopter. So there's a big fundamental flaw in navigation apps that it takes you to the last mile and then you're left to your own devices. So that was a frustration, really. So how do we give this granular curbside information where you can actually legally leave your vehicle and then we give you walking distances to the building? So it's like true A to B journeys that gets you to leave your car in a compliant place and then get you to the building in the fastest possible time. So that's kind of that was the problem I was aiming to solve.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd just like to go a little bit into the market now, if we may, Dan, and look at your competitors, and maybe if we could speak about your traction so far, if you have any numbers on how many people are using this, you know, where it's available, different cities, you know, is it here in the UK? What does its scalability look like across Europe potentially? It would be good to get some context as to where you are at this point in time.
Sure. So, I mean, the competitive landscape, because we are we're very unique. We're a two-sided platform. The platform unites granular curbside maps, so everything that's on the curbside, so all the paint on the road, essentially, we've digitized, so it's not just about paid bays. We pull in occupancy data as well, so supply and demand data, and we pull in payment data, occupancy data, and mapping data. And no one in the world has combined those three data sets. There are actually three industries, if you think about it. The cashless payment market is just offering a till to the curbside of a paid bay. There's mapping companies that offer sort of turn-by-turn navigation. There are some sort of granular curbside mapping companies, but not regulation grade. And if you get a ticket on the curbside, you get a parking fine, so it has to have legal, it's legally binding. And then occupancy data, there's lots of occupancy companies out there who've done smart parking sensors or telematics or predictive, and they're all very much a patchwork of data, so a consumer never gets a ubiquitous experience across a city or a country. So we're completely unique in the market. You know, we've had Frost & Sullivan, a global leading consultancy, sort of do a review of us and pitched us against everyone else. And we've come up as the leader in the UK, in Europe. And so that unique platform where we have the three magic ingredients, you know, granular maps, occupancy data and payments. And then we have two customer groups, because actually the drivers need that data, because when I had my eureka moment that I couldn't park and I thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to have these digital information? It wasn't just about the restriction data. It was about occupancy data as well. And then it's also to have seamless payments, because the payment industry was, you know, exclusive in different areas. And that meant you have to have 20 parking apps. So I was, my advertising background came into play there. And I came up with the tagline, make parking forgettable. And make parking forgettable, you need those three ingredients. And it's not just consumers that need that. It was fleets, you know, fleets trying to do their day jobs, plumbers trying to do eight jobs a day, logistics companies trying to get last mile deliveries and get the intelligence to make sure it's first time right to arrivals. So really, I realized sort of the value of the prop to anyone with a vehicle who has to pull over for the curbside for varying degrees of dwell time, has a need to understand what this data, what the curbside means to them. So that was very unique for the consumer and for the businesses and fleets and logistics and automotive. But the same data, the three ingredients, is extremely relevant for local authorities. They still need to manage the regulation maps by law. They want to understand what's going on the curbside so they can actually create better curbside strategies and better transport strategies and help transition to net zero. And also they take payments, because they are obviously, they take the cashless parking apps take payments on behalf of local authorities, and then the payments then goes into the coffers of the local authority. So it's an extremely unique platform, and this two-sided thing creates a very, very valuable proposition, because this one data set provides immense value once you start to circle the data into a virtuous cycle between both parties, because everyone gets better intelligence and optimizes their operations.
Thank you very much. We're going to move on now, Dan, and look at the investment case for investors. But I think we'll start with looking at the timing of the crowdfunding round. As I said at the beginning, you raised just shy at this point in time of 800,000, well in excess of your initial target. So, of course, strong demand there. But for Appyway, what was it about where you are in your life cycle that made it important to do this funding round at this point in time?
So, I mean, this is this company is 10 years old, right? So we're kind of we're old in a way, but we're still young, because it's taken a long time to build this platform. You know, to create a UK-wide map of all curbside is no mean feat. to build relationships as a startup with local authorities and get into 10% of local authorities is no mean feat. To create the best-in-class driver app and get it into the UK's largest insurance companies is no mean feat, because it all requires the digitization first to build then the platform, then to connect the two worlds, and then to optimize it and effectively automate it. So it's been a very, very long journey. There's a lot of veneer companies who try going to cities, like scooter companies, e-scooter companies. They're all basically trying to be a layer on top of curbside. We are the operating system of the curbside. So it's taken a huge amount of effort, a large amount of money over the 10 years from strategic investors. And also in the behind the scenes, I've been working very hard on lobbying central and local government. And in November last year, some huge news came out, which I've been working tirelessly on. The two bits of news was, one was the King's speech in November of 2023. And King's Charles announced the Autonomous Vehicle Bill Act. And within the Autonomous Vehicle Bill Act was a side note about the legal requirement for cities to publish their curbside maps, their digital traffic orders, in a machine-readable format. And this is what is a huge, huge opportunity, because what people don't know is that a lot of local authorities manage their curbside using paper-based restriction descriptions of the world rather than maps. So we're the best-in-class software to digitally transform the cities. We have a SaaS platform that allows the cities to manage the maps. So we've been pushing legislation, priming the market, and it means that what was a sort of very hard sales cycle means that now cities by law will have to come to us to go and digitize their curbside over the next 24 months. And bearing in mind, we have 10% of the market already as a use case to provide business cases internally to local authorities, as well as having the legal requirement as well. So a huge, huge opportunity, meaning that these digital curbside maps, which are extremely granular, relevant to every single protagonist of the curbside, can scale across the UK. So that's huge news. The other part then is the cashless parking app. So as I said, we're not just a cashless parking app. There are 311,000 paid bays in the UK, right? Which seems a lot, but it's not, because there's 40 million vehicles in the UK that still have parking problems. So we have an addressable market of 40 million vehicles, because we can help provide last meter navigation to the whole of the addressable market. The cashless parking apps only can monetize 311,000 paid bays. So, but the great news is the National Parking Platform, which was just again announced in November, it was a big month in November last year, meant that there's going to be an open market, which means we can go up against Ringo, we can go up against Pay by Phone, and we already have thousands and thousands of users in those contracts of Ringo and Pay by Phone using us, because we can help those drivers plan park and pay, and all those other guys can do is help a driver is pay on arrival. So, sorry, back to your question, is why the crowd? We're going to the crowd because of this moment in time. We've de-risked the platform for retail investors, because we want to make sure we can give returns to everyone. We've had a lot of strategics and city finance who've believed in the vision over the past 10 years. And now, because of these two monumental announcements from government, it means that we have a line of sight to get to profitability. It's a public problem. It should be a public service. It's a system that's built for the people, by the people. And by getting the crowd involved, it makes everyone a spokesperson and helps the cities get to a place where data comes first, which allows us to optimize and we can get on with our days.
Fantastic. Thank you. So I just want to go back to a couple of points that you made there, Dan. And this may be a little bit of a summary from the outline that you just provided there, but it is around the revenue generation model, because I think that's going to be particularly important for investors. You mentioned a SaaS model, and of course you mentioned that the parking, consumer parking, you know, in terms of your revenue generation, in terms of the way that that's weighted at the moment, the way that you see that evolving going forward, It will be good to get some insights into how that's broken down, and as well as if you can add some detail into how you actually generate revenue as a business.
Sure. So it's a two, as I said, it's a unique two-sided platform where both sides share the same three data sets, which is the mapping, the payments, and the occupancy data. The city side, obviously, there's a legal requirement for them to digitize their curbside. So we're creating digital twins. So we have a service where we map the streets like Google Cars, and then we process the maps. So there's a fee there for the digitization. Then they have sort of 3 to 5 year contracts, SaaS platforms, so long-term contracts, good guaranteed money, paid up front most of the time, where local authorities are paying us for the first sort of module of the platform. And what we're seeing, we have a land and expand strategy for the governments, where local authorities keep coming back to us asking for more capabilities, which we've already built because we've spent a lot of money over the past 10 years building this platform. And what we've seen, in fact, one Southwark in the past 24 months, we've seen 430% growth. So an average contract right now is 130% growth year on year. And this will grow more and more because they want more licenses from the platform because the data can be shared internally to their other departments. Huge, huge opportunity there. With the existing capabilities, it's a £40 million market on the GovTech side alone, and this will be growing because of our land and expand strategy. What's also hugely exciting is over in the US, just to put it in perspective, there's 200 local authorities that are relevant for regulation requirements in the UK. 400 in total local authorities have curbside problems, so we can charge them for different SaaS modules. In the US, there's 19,000. So, and they're paying 300% more annual recurring on a 5 year contract. So it's an incredible opportunity. As I said, we build the wells and we sell the water. Building wells is extremely hard into the bedrock of government, but we're doing it and we've succeeded. And now that opportunity to go and build wells in the US to sell the wells to local authorities and then sell the data to the public and businesses is huge. So over to the other side of the platform, which is consumers of the data and people who require access to the curbside. We license our consumer app, which is, as I said, just the tip of the iceberg. People are paying for cashless payments. Right now, it's landlocked to Harrogate and Dundee, but that will scale across the UK, and we can go up against the likes of Ringo in the next 24 months, thanks to the National Parking Platform. People are also subscribing to the app for better curbside intelligence. So, as I said, we offer a planned park and pay use case rather than just a turn up and pay solution. And we have drivers paying £5 a month for that planned park and pay element because you can save time, money, fuel, parking fines by just having this data in your hands. So like you use City Mapper to plan your journey, you can use Appy Parking to plan your journey before you go. What we're seeing there is actually people using the app once on the premium version, then upsell to a year's subscription so because of the value they see. So we're seeing 93% retention on paid users on the app, which is showing that there is a real pain point there and people are willing to pay a price to just actually have this problem solved for them. Behind the scenes, as I said, the platform is it's all an API first platform, and we're licensing this data to Direct Line. Direct Line have 4 million customers and are aiming to get over 250,000 monthly active users on their driver app, and we are licensing our curbside maps to them, and there's a whole host of insurance companies out there who want that. And also we are licensing the data to Motability. Motability is 720,000 vehicles they lease to help disabled people with better curbside access. And our curbside maps can be transformed into a blue badge for you, giving the blue badge holder an understanding of where they can and can't park beyond just a paid bay, beyond just a disabled bay, because a disabled bay isn't always in the right place for a blue badge holder. And we can interpret the Traffic Order Act and give people that last meter intelligence. And this is extremely valuable for better accessibility for disabled people. So hopefully I explained that all.
Yes, you did. There was just something that I think people listening to this would like to know a little bit more about in terms of the scalability. You know, you outlined it, I think, perfectly for the consumer side of things. But you mentioned there was 10% penetration in local authorities in the UK. Where do you see that going to? Do you have a number in mind in terms of where you want to be in a year, 3 years, 5 years? I mean, are you aiming to sign up all local authorities? I mean, is that achievable? From the conversations that you're having so far, it'd be good to get, a little bit of insight into that.
Yeah, well, as I said, by law, they have to buy something. And in the market, there's only two somethings, and that's us and an old competitor that has a 25-year-old software that is outdated and defunct, and we are offering up to 75% more efficiencies using our system. We're winning 3 out of 4 contracts that come to market on just that one module, and then we can then upsell with our capabilities. So we're seeing very, very, we're seeing up to 24 new customers, local authority customers this year, which is unheard of when you're selling into governments. As I said, there's 19,000 local authorities in the US. West Hollywood is a district we can map in just a week and charge them $100,000 a year on a 5-year contract. And there's, I think, 88 cities like West Hollywood in LA alone. So the world is very big. Pollution has no barriers. And our platform is there to basically address the world's problems, ultimately.
Thank you, Dan. So you've outlined a very compelling investment case there. But investors listening to this will always want to know, for a private company such as yourself, what you have in mind and what do you see as the potential routes as an exit for them?
Yeah. So as I said, we are unique and we're treading on the toes of many giants who are very much stuck in their swim lane. There are those navigation apps with turn-by-turn navigation. The giants like Google, Apple, TomTom here, they've all tried to solve granular curbside parking solutions before and failed. That would be a potential, but that requires scaling and mapping, say, 5 countries first before that became an acquisition target. Then there's obviously the cashless payment companies. There's huge consolidation in the market now. Pay by phone has just been bought by All-Star Cards and Fleetcor, which is a sort of big logistics company, because logistics companies want to provide better, more services to the fleets. So there's consolidation in the cashless payment market. Vitruvian is a big private equity company. They bought Easy Park in the Nordics, and then they bought ParkNow, which is owned by BMW. Then they bought Ringo, then they've just bought Flowbird, and they've just bought Your Parking Space. So the cashless payment market is being consolidated, and once they've kind of worked out that there's more value than just being a till to the curbside, then they start to branch out into sort of the digital curbside services. And smart parking, which is our speciality. Then there's private equity. We have had offers last year. We continue to get offers coming through. And ultimately, when we get to that inflection point for us, which is profitability in H2 next year, then we'll then have a huge amount of opportunities, because ultimately the finance market is extremely fickle right now and just looks for money-making companies, which is, I understand it. So our mission is just to get to that break-even point in H2 next year, which we're on target. We've already beaten last year's revenues and already beating our quarterly targets this year.
Great. Anybody listening to this that would like further information, do check out the notes to this podcast, because there'll be a link through to the CrowdCube page where you'll be able to download the relevant documents. But to finish off, Dan, you've been going for 10 years, and of course it's been a process to get the technology to where it is now. Mm-hmm. Where do you see it going in the next 10 years?
So just 10 years sounds like an awful long time to be doing what we're doing. Just a quick recap there, and I'll go on to where we're going. There are two UK parking companies that have done immensely well. Some have gone to the crowd as well. There's one that does driveway rentals, and that took 17 years to break even. And now they're at break even. They're now having the luxury of what they do next. The other one got bought by the Vitruvian private equity. They sold for 140 million, and they do more sort of car park management. And they took 13 years to break even. So the world we're in is extremely, extremely hard. And by sheer grit, all these incredible founders within the sector have got to the level. But it does take time. But, you know, from small acorns grow large oak trees. So that sort of sets the scene, really, in terms of sort of the groundwork has been done. So where we see us in 10 years, as I mentioned before, there's the Autonomous Vehicle Bill Act, which has now been passed by government. That's that they're very much focused on addressing that problem. We need to get more autonomous vehicles on the roads. We need less people owning their own cars, less ownership, more usership, and then ultimately more automation. Because ultimately the world is burning and we need to reduce carbon and the emission. A third of all emissions from UK transport comes from personally owned vehicles or thereabouts. So in the world in 10 years' time, we are, you know, en route. We are that binary API that gives compliance to vehicles at the curbside. So it's very natural that we'll be fitting in to the roadmap of autonomous vehicles because we can provide arbitration of an autonomous vehicle to go on and off street and work out down to the meter where they're allowed to be, depending on purpose and vehicle type. So that operating system of the curbside is an extremely exciting place to be because cities can build more capabilities on top of that platform to help them optimize and transition to net zero. And ultimately, it allows vehicles to drivers today to become optimized, reduce unnecessary journeys, and get on with the day. And also, it sets a scene then for offering compliance to autonomous vehicles. And the world in the future will be, we won't have traffic wardens driving, walking the streets, slapping tickets on windows. Cities will be able to turn the curbside into a positive revenue engine by licensing compliance data into vehicles because of the value that it brings to the UK economy and the global economy. Just by not having curbside maps in UK drivers' hands, it means there's 26 billion lost from UK economy. So that can actually be recaptured and cash generated from that by turning the curbside into a positive revenue engine.
That's great, Dan. Thank you very much. And I'll just repeat what I said before. Anybody who wants further information, do check out the notes to this podcast. There'll be a link through to the Appy Way page on Crowdcube. And Dan, if people want to use the app, I've got it downloaded. I believe it's Appy Parking. That's the one to use, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, Appy Way is the holding company that offers the whole platform. Appy Parking is the driver app, and ultimately, the more the data scales, which it will do because of the Autonomous Vehicle Bill Act and our own technology, it's like a mobile phone in the darkest part of Cornwall. You can have the best iPhone and no signal, then it's not a very good phone. But over the next 2 years, the data will start to grow and get more granular, and you'll have an extremely powerful experience across the whole of the UK. So the scale problem has solved, and it's a network problem which we've solved as well. So if you download it and you're in the countryside and you're underwhelmed, don't worry, hold tight. You'll be very, very happy in the next 24 months.
That's great, Dan. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks very much.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.